before I forget, we need to say good morning
to Ken and Vicky. Yes.
Ken and Vicky.
Hello, Ken and Vicky, my favorite neighbors.
Where would he be now on his route, his paper route?
Probably on Bearwaller Road.
Probably there. Ken, drive carefully. All right. Let's play this song now. Why do your songs always sound like incomplete sentences?
You mean my song titles?
Your song titles, yeah.
I don't know. Because I generally take like the first line of the chorus or the first line of the song or
mm-hmm. When You Love.
That's one of my favorites.
I like that too. Be With You.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that one.
Yeah. But this one is called It Don't Do.
It don't do to write titles that sound like incomplete sentences. My English teachers used to tell me the same thing.
Really? You know,
they would say your entire paragraph sounds like an incomplete sentence. So then I refined that to just making titles sound incomplete.
All right. What does the song mean?
It means you don't do to preach the gospel if you don't live the Christian life.
Okay. It's very pointed in that direction.
Yeah, because I'm a little bit ticked off with people.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Because you feel like they've got a platform and they're abusing it?
I just feel like there should be a difference between the way Christians live and the way pagans live.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not so sure that people in the world can make that distinction because I'm not so sure that the people we have in leadership in the church are distinct.
Hmm.
And okay. I think, you know, they should be above reproach and all that. And I'm not always sure that they are. I'm not always sure that I am.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I was a little aggravated with myself, too, because I'm going, gee, you know, if you didn't get paid to do this, would people still think you were a Christian? And I was kind of like, well, I don't know, I'm a nice guy, but, you know, so is a lot of people.
All right, so that's what you're addressing in this song.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got several songs yet on the album to play and running out of time, so we want to kind of move quickly here. Three songs that we have to play, there's just no doubt about it. Ooh,
Does that make noise?
That made a great... The springs are loaded here.
Sorry, I'm sorry about that, but it's time for you to get up and go to church.
It is time. This is live radio, too, so it does make the difference. Being With You, you said it had a good story?
Oh, yeah, this has a great story.
All right. What is the story, Rich?
Okay, I borrowed a friend of mine's car and drove to my parents' house in Indiana and had to take his car back to him, and he lives in Knoxville. In fact, four of the songs on this album were written on my way to Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And this song, I was driving through the mountains and thinking about what they would look like after the war, after the bomb, after the nuclear bomb, because mm-hmm. you figure it's inevitable. I mean, there are enough idiots in office in enough countries that it's bound to happen. And I was really feeling angry because I thought, you know, it's not fair that they have... I understand why people get killed. Because people screw up things, but trees don't screw anything up, and mountains don't screw anything up, and there are a lot of things out there in the world that are just beautiful, and they exist for no reason except just to be beautiful, and I thought, gee, it's just not fair that they should, that should all be destroyed, that should all be ruined. So, that's when I thought of the line, well, and then I realized, well, God's going to destroy it anyway, you know, and it would be more fun for him to do it than for us to do it, because he's going to do a better job of it, and then he's going to remake everything, make everything new without all the defects that people brought into it. And so that's when I just started praying, and I said, when you blast the cosmos, the kingdom come. And then I went, oh man, I'm going to stop praying now, I'm going to write a song. And then I couldn't get it finished, so I had to come back to Nashville, and another friend of mine that I really like, Justin Peters, who I think is a real good writer, and I was playing it for him, and he's just kind of helped me finish the song up, like came in with some real key phrases that pulled it all together for us.
Mm-hmm. This is a good album, Pictures in the Sky. Where'd the title come from?
The title song.
Yeah, well, the title song and then...
Oh, where did the title song come from?
Yeah, and just the idea of Pictures in the Sky.
Well, my car broke down. It hadn't really broken down.
You and your cars.
Really. It was... but I had to take it in for repairs, and a friend of mine, Dave McCracken, dropped me off at the place and then left me, abandoned me, and gave me two tickets to Barbara Mandrell Country.
Yeah.
And we took it to the garage to this garage right down on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And Broadway, incidentally, I wrote this song the exact same place that I wrote the song on my last album that was called the one that
These Days.
These Days, yeah, Pam Mahon I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there I was on Broadway, on Lower Broad even, and really depressed area, and I was walking around. It was just a real cloudy day, and I thought, you know, it looks so much nicer up there than it does down here. So I walked up to Barbara Mandrell Country with my free ticket, and Dave was up there, and I said, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And I sang him a couple lines, and he really liked it. So I finished it.
That's good. I want to play Screen Door now.
Okay.
I like this. I mean, this is just nothing but fun, pure fun.
Yeah.
It's real short too. Who's in the studio with you here? Chris Harris.
Chris Harris.
Hear him in just an instant.
And Chris Rodriguez.
Okay.
And Wayne Kirkpatrick.
Just the four of you?
Uh huh.
Okay. A little goofing off in the very beginning.
Yeah, a lot of goofing off, but just a little that got on tape.
So we get off to kind of a slow start here, but then the song takes off.
Yeah.
Good message in this thing too. It's not just a fun song. It's a good message.
Yeah, heavy message.
Explain the message just real briefly.
The message is that you have to do something about what you believe in, or you have to stop saying that you believe in it.
It's short and sweet, to the point, but it's good. This is called Screen Door from Rich Mullins. I know you write some stuff with Pam Arcall.
I mean,
she thinks highly of you in terms of who she likes to write with.
I think she's great.
You guys seem to get along real well. You write with some other people. It's evident here. You were talking about Justin Peters a little while ago and Wayne Kirkpatrick. But you write a lot by yourself. Is there a certain amount of inspiration that you have to be hit with? I mean, we were talking
Normally
before.
It's trouble.
It's trouble?
Yeah.
That makes you write songs?
I wrote that song because I got a real bad hankering to do something I knew I shouldn't. And just in order to concentrate on something else to get my mind off of what it was that I wanted to do.
Okay.
I said, okay, I'm going to write. Well, originally I started out to write a limerick. I was going to write a limerick.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't work out as a limerick very well. But it did turn into a nice song, I think.
Was it intended to be an a cappella type street? What was the street song?
No, originally it was just going to be like
a verse.
Like, yeah. And then, like, I think the more of yourself that you involve in whatever you're doing, that's when you're trying to distract yourself,
mm-hmm.
the better. So I started singing. I was in my car. I was on my way to Knoxville again. That's another one. I was in Chattanooga, of all places. I mean, whatever in the world I wanted to do that wasn't good, I can't imagine wanting to do it in Chattanooga. You know? Yeah, I get real inspired by anger.
Hmm.
And I shouldn't be so much. I enjoy it a little much.
Really?
If I enjoyed it a little less, then I'd have more right to really be angry. Like, I like what Chesterton says. He says that the pessimist isn't bad because he criticizes the world, but because he doesn't love what he criticizes. And I think if I loved more, I would have more right to criticize. But most people who love more don't criticize as much. You know, because they're too busy trying to help things out to just be, you know, unconstructive.
Right. Set up Verge of a Miracle for me. I like this song.
Well, this was written because I do a lot of retreats. I work with a lot of church groups and like that. And just to talk to a kid who had attempted suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that was a bad thing to do. And the people who don't do it for no reason. And I thought maybe if I could reach out a little bit and say, man, there is a reason not to, maybe it would, you know, help him. And the music was already written. I started the music at Hummingbird Studio when we started the album, and then I worked a lot on it in Chicago when I was up there. This is like one of those songs that I was inspired just out of real compassion for someone.
Something else you did that was very unique last night was you introduced Rich Mullins.
I'm sorry, Rich.
No, I thought
you
it was
great. You know what? I went over the edge, and I apologize.
Oh, no, I liked it.
I don't think you would have been an axe murderer if you weren't a Christian.
Well, don't say. Tell what you said. Tell our listening audience.
I'm not sure I remember. The reason that stuff works is because I don't think about it.
And you can repent and ask for forgiveness later.
No, it was something to the effect of, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I still have enough fear in my heart that I struggle sometimes with being completely honest. Sometimes I get caught trying to say what I think you want to hear instead of what I really believe. And
right.
This, our next guest, does not suffer under that particular malady.
I laughed last night, too, just like I did right there. It just came out.
That was good, wasn't it?
And you also
it was very good.
I got instant recall.
I thought that you did it word for word.
That's very good.
Because it scarred me so deeply, I will never forget it.
And then I thank God that he's a Christian, because if he wasn't, he'd probably be an axe murderer.
That's a sweet thing to say about someone.
That's
you know?
Right, what a spiritual moment that was. And of course, Rich said the pay's better being a Christian artist.
Not a lot better, but that was an exaggeration. But you know, when you're doing a concert, the truth sometimes is bigger than the facts.
This is true.
I was talking in a spiritual sense.
Oh, absolutely.
I do that all the time.
As you normally do.
We got that. We did understand that. Well, Mr. Chapman, we wish you were here this morning.
You know, I wish I was. I planned on it, but I kind of woke up in domestic madness. And by the time I got the baby's diaper changed and I put on a new Depends for the day, it was the morning was gone.
Rich Mullins, our guest, and good morning.
Good morning.
You are not quite bright-eyed as I've seen you at some times.
No, not quite.
You have been what is referred to as a party animal for the past couple of days. Is that right?
Just a couple
of
days.
Uh-huh. Well, I said welcome home to him, and he laughed because this is no longer home for you. You don't live in Nashville anymore, is what
right,
I'm trying to
correct.
Say.
Right, correct. Oh, correct. This coffee is very good.
Isn't it?
I highly recommend chocolate raspberry
coffee. That's what we're drinking this morning.
Yeah.
We need to take care of another tradition. We didn't talk about this yet, but there, you have a friend who drives a paper
route. That's right. Ken.
Ken, are you listening?
Ken, are you listening? This is me. I'm back.
Heave a Sunday paper this way, buddy.
I'm the cause of all the trouble in Bellsburg.
No, you're
lock
not.
Lock your house. Lock your windows. They're having a party there.
Talk about Awesome God before we go any farther. How you wrote it.
Okay.
And what
this is a really disappointing story, I got to tell you right up front.
You got some great stories. I mean, Come All You Faithful is a great story.
Getting kicked out of the piano room at school.
Getting banned from
getting
the music
banned
building.
From the music building, yeah. That was one of my better ones. I was really proud of that. But Awesome God was just, I was trying to stay awake, and we were driving across Kansas to Colorado to Christ in Youth Conference, and the guy that was riding with me was sound asleep, and I was pulling a trailer that was bigger than my truck. My truck only had 4 cylinders, and I was just going, wow, it is so incredible how strong gravity is. And I have the pedal to the metal, and it was going every bit of at least 37 mile an hour downhill. And there's very little downhill in Kansas. It's all from Missouri border to the Colorado border, it's all uphill. And I just went, man, this is unbelievable. So then I started, you know, of course, being religiously minded as I am, I started thinking, man, if gravity is this strong, think how strong God must be.
And that's where Awesome God came from.
And that's pretty much where it came from. I just started acting like I was a Baptist preacher. I just started kind of yelling things out the window at the cars going by. And then I just strung them together and, excuse me, came up with a chorus. We've been sitting out by a campfire all night. So I've got like, I feel like I'm going to have smoker's cough today.
Oh, no. I think Screen Door is one of my favorite stories. I said, how did you write Screen Door? And you said, well, it's a cappella because I wrote it in my truck and I don't have any keyboards in my truck.
Well, I do most of my writing in my truck. That's where it's not just a truck, it's my life.
That's where you live.
It's my habitat.
Okay. Oh, boy. So you made it to Colorado, right? You made it
across? Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did, and we sang that song as soon as I got there.
Did you really?
Yeah, the whole conference did. It was great.
Tell me about the hammered dulcimer. That's
yes, one of my favorite things to play, because it's actually an ancestor of the piano, and I've given up being a piano player, you know.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah, pretty much. And so I decided to, you know, go backwards. So I thought, in my great digression, I would go back to the what piano started out being, which was hammered dulcimers. And they just eventually evolved into something much more complicated.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you play that in concert?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that's that portable?
Yeah, it's really wonderful. It's a little trapezoid-shaped thing that's maybe a little bit bigger than your average auto harp.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take these little wooden mallets and you hit it.
Hmm.
That's my favorite part of it.
Wow. You just hit that thing all over the place,
it makes noise. It's a beautiful sound.
Yeah, the first time I heard it, in fact, when I went to college, I had decided that to be at peace with myself ever in my life, which I mean, it was a great decision, but I've never really accomplished it. I was going to have to learn how to appreciate my own heritage, and my dad's a total hillbilly. He was born in Appalachia, Virginia, and so I thought, okay, as part of my education, I started listening to Appalachian music, and got familiar with dulcimers, or lap dulcimers, the kind that you strum.
Mm-hmm.
And then this friend of mine called me up and said, hey, they're having a dulcimer festival, which I thought was going to be really boring because it's just a 3 or 4 string little instrument. And I've heard a lot of people play them very badly. And I thought, but nevertheless, we were going to canoe to it. So I thought that would be a lot of fun. So we canoed into Coshocton, Ohio. We canoed down to Wahunding, down to the Mohican. And got to Coshocton, Ohio, right about at sunset, and it was like being on the set of the Daniel Boone TV series or something. It was
wow.
You know, Coshocton is this old restored town, and we come up in this canoe with my little lap dulcimer floating in the middle of the canoe, and I heard this incredible music. It was right at sunset, and I was going, man, what are they playing? So we got out and ran up the bank, and went over to the middle of the festival, and there was like about 6 hammer dulcimers in a circle, and they were all playing simultaneously. It was mm-hmm. like being in the middle of a music box.
Wow, that's beautiful. So you fell in love with the instrument? And
yes, I did. I started saving my money right then, and never did get enough. In fact, I finally had enough to buy one, and my car broke down, and I had to spend the money on that. But I was in East Tennessee at the time, and I was doing an interim ministry in East Tennessee, and the people from the church that I was
interning
whatever, they bought me one.
That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, wasn't it nice?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, so it pays to have your car broke down.
in East Tennessee, anyway,
yeah.
Right? Talk about the song, If I Stand. Let's move on to another song. While you sip your coffee.
Okay. If I Stand, I wrote with Steve Cudworth, and we were, we traveled together last year, me and Steve and Kyle Stevens and Barry Clark. And we were just sitting out at the house and thinking what a cool house I had and how nice everything was, and realizing how you can get really caught up in the good things. That sometimes it's good to be miserable here because it makes you... you know, it's kind of like when the 88 Reasons came out,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was looking for Jesus at Rosh Hashanah, and I thought it was wonderful. I mean, I wasn't sure if I ever believed it, but I thought it was really wonderful that people were really looking for him. And then I was talking to this guy from a kind of undertrodden group of people, and he said that he thought that white Christians were so funny because from his culture they always look for Jesus,
mm.
because they... their joy, the only joy they have is the joy that they hope for, that they'll have when history is all brought to an end and oppression is no longer a reality. It's not hard, it's not, you know, we don't have to worry about that because we're, I guess, the oppressors, I don't know. But we were just thinking about how wonderful it was to be out there and how that there is more going on than what we can see or what we can feel. And we wrote the song.
All right, our exclusive forecast for the Nashville area. We're going to have variable cloud. Do what?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, here. I'm practicing because I think I'm going to have a very short-lived music career. I was thinking about going into meteorology. Okay, this is the exclusive forecast for the Nashville area. Variable cloudiness and windy today, a few showers, and a thunderstorm with any luck. High today near 70, partly cloudy tonight, low 42. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine, maybe a shower. You need one. High in the 58. How was it?
Wait a minute. And now in Nashville.
And it's what?
Partly cloudy.
It's partly cloudy right now, if you can't figure that out.
No, and the temperature.
The temperature is 6...
No, 40... No, 40.
449.
At 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock.
And, yeah, that's and 7 o'clock.
It's and
both,
7 o'clock.
Both hours. 49
degrees. It's not getting a whole lot warmer out there, in other words.
I would say...
Not quickly.
Yeah, I would say keep on recording them records.
Then it will get brighter as the day goes by.
I'll trust you on that. Oh, boy. That was a 20-minute weather forecast. Not bad at all. I kind of like that. Rich Mullins is our guest. We're going to be giving away some cassettes. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Winds of Heaven, Stuff of Earth, this latest album. Is this your dog?
That is my dog. She just got hit yesterday.
No.
No, I'm so depressed.
Is she with you here?
No, she's not with
us. She's home.
She's still home, yes.
Okay.
Not to her eternal home. She just got nicked, but I think she just did it to get attention. I told her I was going to shoot her next time she got hit. She does it, and it's kind of her way of pouting.
Does she chase cars?
She races with cars.
Races with cars.
Yeah, she's a very fast dog, but she wasn't fast enough.
I understand the session. Now, folks, you that have seen the album cover, this is a great picture. This is in my top 10 of favorite album covers, too.
Yeah, mine, too.
I like this. It just looks very casual, very together. You look like you're just enjoying it. I didn't know it was your dog, though, but this, I understand the dog just kind of came in and sat down, and that was it.
Oh, she knew what was going on. Curry is the queen of Ellsberg.
This latest song, The Other Side of the World.
The Other Side of the World.
The Other Side of the World opens up with a chant, if you will.
It's a little children's song.
A little children's song. And the translation?
Is something on the order of, pray to God, it will be cool with you if you pray to God.
Really?
Sabai means cool. I mean, it means close to cool. It was kind of interesting. We were trying to ask the kids what they do for fun,
uh-huh.
And they don't have a word in their vocabulary for fun. They don't understand.
Korean? This is
no. This was Thailand. This was the Lisu people.
And he's talking to his friend Roger, who I met
in Thailand.
In Thailand.
And he's here for the birthday party.
Okay.
But anyway,
the birthday party was last night, right?
No, it was Friday, Saturday, and today.
What's still going on?
It still is. Yeah. So I know no one out there is listening, but in case you're at home,
that's not true.
No, they're all crashed by now.
Oh, you mean the people went to the party? I thought you meant I didn't have any listeners this morning.
Oh no! I know you had thousands of listeners everywhere. I tune in just to hear you.
Well, I appreciate
it. I turn
that.
It off when the music comes on. And I had this little buzzer that goes off. Goes, oh, the music is in it. Here comes. Here he is.
Here he is.
I turn it back on. No, so. But anyway, they don't have a word for fun, which is why we were going, what do you do for fun? And the translator went, and went, wow, we don't have a word for fun. And then they have this word sabai, which means, I mean, the closest thing we come to it in our language is cool. But it's not really cool. It's like something really even cooler than cool. It's like someone in California will come up with a word someday that will approach this more.
So this language is what?
This is a mixture of Lisu and Thai, actually. Dr. Garland Berry just ran into him not too long ago, and he was a missionary over there, and he said that the first part is Lisu, but Sabai is definitely Thai.
Okay. And did you write the words, or a translator wrote this for you?
No. This was a song the little kids sang for us when we came in the village.
Oh, so you didn't write this first part?
No. I do that a lot. I steal from Bach and from the Lisu.
Yes, you do. But you always say thank you, don't you?
I do.
What a guy.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Anything else you can tell us about the song?
No, I like it. I like it very much.
Roger,
and there's
like
a
it.
there's a video out on it that we made in Guatemala with little Guatemalan kids. Guatemalans. But, wow, if my first name was Guada, then I would sound like a country. It's Guatemalans.
Guatemalans.
I'm so lucky my name is Richard. I would hate to be mistaken for a country. If I keep eating like I have been eating, they're going to mistake me for a continent. It's been a while that my house is just incredible tables full of food, and it's all fattening food. It's all cheesecakes and all that stuff. Wow, all my friends cook. I love them.
That's worth coming back to Nashville for. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The Other Side of the World, Rich Mullins.
The Other Side of the World.
Roger, tell a story.
This is Roger Twitchell, a friend of mine from Thailand.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just telling how Rich wrote that song. One of the missionary interns that was there in Thailand was getting ready to leave, and we all got together for a big service. There was, Rich, seven different languages? Seven different languages represented here in the service, and Rich wrote the song, I guess, about an hour and a half before the service, and he and Steve Cudworth performed it. It was just one of the highlights of the service.
Wow. Does that happen?
It was a long service, and it made me wish that we were Pentecostal, because they had to translate everything seven times.
Wow.
It was really kind of
I
kept thinking, wow, if we all were, fabulously gifted, this could be a lot shorter. I was afraid they were going to burn the rice. But they always anticipate long services there.
Really?
Yeah, because, they're not afraid of going overtime.
You think you'll go back? Spend much time there?
I would like to go back and live there, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What attracts
Only for 10 years. I think I want to live there for about 10 years.
What attracts you?
It's not America.
Which means?
Which means people are very quiet, they're very small, and the Christians I met there, it was really wonderful to hear the scriptures being read by people who didn't have a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant slant on them. It was really refreshing to hear people read the scriptures who had not grown up in a Christian culture. So their slant was very different, and a lot of times their insights were very
unrecognized.
And not that I think America is a negative place. I think I like cars, and I like fast food is okay if you have to eat in a hurry, and I think this country has really done a lot of good for a lot of people, and I think in fact Thailand is maybe still somewhat free because of the influence of the United States.
What's the message particularly to American Christians?
I think you have to meet God kind of head on. And I think sometimes when you live in a Christian culture, that it's hard to do that because we have all these preconceived ideas about who God is. It was really neat. One of the old men, one of the elders, from one of the, I think it was a Chinese man, was doing a Bible study on the parable of the sheep, and they don't have sheep in Thailand, so he was describing sheep to the people. I had never thought about sheep before, but he said, now the reason the shepherd takes care of the sheep is because he's going to butcher them. Hmm. And so they give their wool, and then they give their lives. And so if we are to think of ourselves as sheep, we should think of ourselves as needing to give our wool and then to give our lives. Hmm. And I thought, man, I grew up in the church, and I never heard anyone see that in that. And in a way, he was very accurate. He said the sheep gives his wool. They would take the wool, and they would sell it. And this man, like, did everything he could to find out about sheep because they were so interested in them. We take them so for granted. They take their wool to the market and sell it. And so the wool from the lamb is for the others. And that is our witness to the world, our kindness to the world, our the way that we deal with people outside the church. But then the sheep are butchered for the shepherd, or for the people from his household, and so we are to lay down our lives for one another. I mean, everything he said was just shocking, and I think I am so grateful that I grew up in the church. I'm thankful I went to Bible college. I'm thankful for that I was taught as a little boy to respect the scriptures and to read them, and I feel that was a wonderful blessing in my life. But then to hear the scriptures being read by people who are not going into it with a particularly denominational slant was really, or even cultural. Well, it's a different cultural slant. It's not that they don't have a slant, it's that they have a different one. Really wonderful.
It's affected you very deeply then.
Very deep. It's made me really want to go back for that reason, and also because I just think that there are an awful lot of energy. There is an awful lot of energy being spent in America to entertain kids into the kingdom.
Hmm.
And I sometimes resent. Well, it's kind of like, it's a weird thing, you know, you go in and you do a concert and more kids are interested in kids and adults are more interested in finding out if you know Amy Grant than if you know Jesus Christ. And I think, you know, it's so wild when people are impressed with other people I know when everybody I know is eventually going to die and decompose. And yet I know someone who will never see corruption.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who has overcome every every bad thing in the world. And when I tell people that, they're unimpressed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this.
Winds of Heaven, Stuff of Earth. Where did the title come from?
Well, there are those are two different lines. Well, actually, from two different songs, a line from two different...
From each.
Yes. how do you say that? That's really, you know, it's very hard. What time is it?
Oh, almost a quarter till eight. 17
quarter of eight,
eight.
Yeah. I'm having a little trouble. Actually, I think everything is either the winds of heaven or it's just stuff. And it's just, I like juxtaposition. And it just sounded real kind of Indian, real kind of a little mystical. I think sometimes we're a little afraid of mystical things, and I think rightly so, because I think you can run into trouble. But I think Christianity has a, definitely has a, there's a mystical element in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing weird and new age.
No.
Just,
no.
You know, there's the communion of the saints, that's a very mystical thing.
Right.
And that's...
Talk about the song Home. Let's play that song next.
Well, Home I just wrote last year, right, no, actually it was in December that I wrote it, and it was just a time when, you know how you go through those little periods when everything falls out from under you, everything is jerked out from under you, and you just go, wow, what is this? And then all of a sudden you go, nothing really matters anyway. I mean, sooner or later everything is designed to dissolve, and, what we need to do is enjoy it when it's there. And I mean, it's so much easier said than not. I mean, I say that like, oh, well, just enjoy it while it's here, man. But we need to be thankful. I mean, I guess I wrote Doubly Good to You, and I remember someone saying, you know, it's what you're saying then is that God hasn't been doubly good to you if you don't have someone who you're in love with. And I said, that God doesn't owe you anything. And if you have anything at all, then you're very, very lucky is a bad word, but we'll use it. You know, so that's what Home is about.
Tell me more about the parties that have been going on these past... This is a birthday party. Are we saying how old you are?
Huh? 33.
33.
Yeah, this is where grace becomes really meaningful. Because you realize you are going to be older than 33 because Jesus didn't get to be older than 33.
So the grace years are about to abound.
They have just begun.
Our, so did you plan like 3 days of parties? Is that what?
It's not. There's nothing is really planned. There are some traditions. We normally take a good hike because where I live, there's like all kinds of great hikes to take. There's normally a football game, which we've got through that. A lot of times we have motorcycle races and stuff like that, but no one rode motorcycles this year because it was so cold. And there's always like a lot of movie watching and a lot of card playing.
And that kind of stuff.
For people who can tolerate that kind of behavior, obviously.
It's your birthday, why not?
Hey, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, we have a surprise for you this morning.
Surprise.
That's right. Here, it's now time.
Birthday to you.
Oh, no.
Bevy of people are here, bringing all kinds of stuff in.
There are thousands of people.
They don't sing very well at 5 minutes after 8. This is great.
Thank you.
This is wonderful. Well, we just wanted to kind of continue what's been going on for the past couple of days.
Oh, great.
A number of your friends.
Hey, you said they don't sing very well. This is one of the guys from my band, and he sings. I hope you sing. Say hello, Kyle.
Hello, Nashville.
Yes. Well, I just said
this is Katie.
A little after 8.
Hi.
Hi, Katie.
Around,
these people are really shy.
Everybody
these
move
are
around.
These people are from Grand Rapids,
Michigan.
Yay. Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wow.
Hello, Marva.
There are a lot of people
Richard,
here.
Good morning.
We're not. We. Yeah, keep on coming around.
Going.
They're all wearing Richmond
sweatshirts. Well, now we're
great.
Into the Cincinnati people. Now we're at the South Bend, Indiana people. And
Fort Worth, Dallas,
people are here. Did everybody come? Gee, Liz.
This is great.
This is Connie. She lives in Bellsburg, and these are Cincinnati people. This is a Knoxville person coming. Wichita.
All these people.
This is my sister and her husband.
Oh, good. Welcome. So these people are just here for your party?
This is Elaine from Joplin. And this guy here is from Anderson, Indiana. Yeah.
There's a lot more?
Yeah. There's a bunch of people out at my house.
Dallas? Did you come to Nashville?
These people just came here because I only have one bathroom.
Everybody that's here from out of town came for this guy's birthday party? Wow. That's pretty incredible.
It's very, very overwhelming.
No wonder it's a 3-day party.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you drive that far, you need to get something out of it.
13 hours for one day.
Oh, that's pretty special. See, this tremendous effect you have on people.
Yeah, it's really, thank you.
Did they bring a cake this morning? Is this just...
We had cake last night.
Oh,
cake
wow, we've had nothing cake. But cake and cake and
caked
more
out.
Cake.
Yeah. All right.